Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. You're about to hear a message from one of our first Wednesdays where it's all about building faith, refreshing vision, growing, and developing in the things of God. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Has anyone ever told you that God told them something and you were just so annoyed by them? Can we be real this morning in church? It's not this morning, it's this evening. Can we be real? Somebody comes up and they think they're having this like spiritual moment with you and they're like, God told me this. And you're like, shut up. What are you talking about? When somebody tells me God told them something, I'm automatically skeptical. Unfortunately, this is how I've wired myself. I don't know or whatever, but automatically I'm thinking, oh, sure he did. Sure he did. The second thing I think is, did he actually speak to them? Then I start to get a little bit jealous. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, God, you spoke to them? Really? Those crazy church ladies? That youth leader who shows up like half the time and you spoke to them? I'm not speaking about anybody specific, all right? I don't even go to youth anymore. I don't know who they are. I know they're in here, though. Hearing from the Lord is a funny thing, isn't it? I think when a lot of us think about hearing from God, we automatically associate it sometimes with the audible voice of God. This happened to me for years. Growing up, when I heard about people hearing from God, I would assume they were talking about the audible voice of God. And it always made me a little bit skeptical. And actually, I kind of felt like, I don't know, like over time I started to develop this mindset, like, I don't know if God even speaks to people anymore. I think he speaks through people. Right. Like if you are educated in the Bible enough, he can speak through you. Or if you're just holy enough that you take your shoes off and lie on your face and worship, God's speaking to you. And then he can speak through you. But I don't know if that happens. But hearing from God mostly happens in other ways besides audible ways. And that's the reality of the world we live in. I've heard some people hear the audible voice of God, but it's not as common these days. The Bible talks about God speaking in whispers at times even. And I think that sometimes people are expecting God to be like your teacher when everything's loud in the room. And you know, back in school, when everything got loud, the teacher would be like, hey, shut up, calm down. And you think that's what God's going to speak. You think that's how he's going to speak. See, I think that God still speaks to people very strongly. Do you agree?
Yeah.
I really believe he does. I just think he has a lot more to compete with these days. I think he's got a lot more to compete with. Oftentimes, in your life and in mine, God's voice is not the loudest voice, is he?
Yeah. Right.
Can we be real in church tonight?
Yeah.
Hearing from God is so important, though, because hearing from God reminds us who we are.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you tonight, you get to decide who's going to be the loudest voice in your life. So often, though, God's not the loudest voice, is he? I think, like, what I want God to be is like Fran Drescher from The Nanny. Some of you young people might not get this reference, but there was this show, they had this nanny, and she'd be like, eh, like, can you do it with me tonight? And like, eh, you know what I'm saying? Eh, that's what she would do. And that's what we want God to be. Like, God, just speak clearly and above everybody else, like the nanny, Fran Drescher. But if God's not the loudest voice in our life, who is? You know, sometimes it's our boss. Sometimes it's our spouse. Just won't stop yelling at me. Young people, sometimes it's your crush. It's just a little crush. You know, and sometimes our kids are the loudest. You know, man, my kids can be the loudest voice in my life for sure. You know, when my son is manipulating me, my wife is always like, Joel, you're the parent. And reminding me, you are the parent. Right. 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 For some of us, our parents are the loudest, or our bills are the loudest. Some people, our insecurity is the loudest voice in our life. Can we be real? Like our need to be loved, that's the loudest voice. Or our need to be needed, that's the loudest voice. I just need people to need me. But all of these are examples of the loudest voice being driven by something that's in us. So we are the loudest voice in our life. And I think the reason that so often we struggle to hear from God is simply because he's just not the loudest voice. It's not because God doesn't have anything to say. He wants to speak to you. It's just because he's not the loudest voice. It's not because he doesn't love you. He does. He's just not the loudest voice. Someone or something else is. And I think we need to determine what those things are. So how? Like, how do we hear the voice of God? Tonight, I want to talk from a little bit from this text in 1 Samuel 3, probably the most famous text in the Bible about God speaking to someone. I'm sure that thousands of messages have been preached off this text, but Samuel hears the voice of God. Samuel, he's serving this guy Eli, and God speaks to Samuel while he's laying down. He goes to bed at night. And the lamp of God is almost out, so we know that it's almost time to go to sleep because he's in a temple, and I'm not going to explain all that. I learned all of it on Wikipedia, though. He's about to go to sleep, and he hears God's voice. He lays down and hears God's voice, so he comes to Eli. He thinks it's Eli. He gets confused, and then Eli's like, no, go back to bed. He goes back to bed, hears God speak again. Comes to Eli. Eli's like, it wasn't me, you know, and he keeps thinking it's Eli. So he goes back to bed again. And then a third time, the Lord called and Samuel got up. He went to Eli. He said, here I am. You called me, Eli. He keeps thinking Eli's calling him. And then Eli realizes that he's hearing from God. Eli realizes, okay, God's speaking to this young man. So he says, go back, lay down. And if he speaks again, He says to tell God, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel goes, he lays down, and the Lord came and stood there calling as the other times. And he says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so he finally figures out that God is speaking to him. See, Samuel thought God was Eli because Samuel had been serving Eli so much that Eli was the loudest voice in his life. See, Eli was starting to lose his sight at the time, and so he needed Samuel quite a bit to help him get through the day. So Samuel thinks that Eli is God because Eli is the loudest voice in his life. Right. And earlier in the text, it says that in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There wasn't very many visions. They weren't hearing from God. But thank God that's not the case today, because now we have the Holy Spirit. See, this is the Old Testament verse, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit back then. But now the Holy Spirit is here, so hearing from God can be a constant thing in our lives. Not rare anymore. What a blessing. I can't stand people who are like, oh, I just wish I was born in a different time. You know, I wish I was born in the Bible times when everything was beautiful. I don't. I think these are the good old days, because we have the Holy Spirit. So before, you know, God was with them. Jesus was with them, but now he's in us. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 16 that it's best for him to go away so that we get the Holy Spirit. That's how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. It's actually better if Jesus leaves the earth, because then we get the Holy Spirit. He was with us, now he's in us. So these are the good old days. Don't get it twisted. We have the Holy Spirit. But how do we make the Holy Spirit the loudest voice in our lives? How do we make the Holy Spirit the loudest voice in our lives? Simply this. I want to talk to you tonight about this. In order for the Holy Spirit to be the loudest in your voice, in order for the Holy Spirit to be the loudest in your life, you need rest. You need rest. You need rest. See, you live in the environment that you create. So whatever you're living in, you've created that. So if you're not happy with your world, remember, you're the one who's in control of it. And you're the one who's created it to be the way it is. In the last week of August, the week leading up to our launch Sunday, where we're going to launch this, you know, I dedicated my life to September 15th for like 9 months. I've been working so hard on this thing. I was at a point where I wasn't sleeping more than 2 or 3 hours a night. Like, I just could not get to bed because my mind was just racing at all times. I wasn't respecting my days off. And so on days off, I was still checking my email. I was still running errands. And I wasn't properly resting. And I wasn't doing, like, I was still getting into my Bible every day, but it wasn't like a devotional time. It was like, sweet, got that over with. Okay, now I can go on with the guilt-free day. You know what I mean? Got that out of the way. But I was not respecting rest in my life. And I had allowed a couple things along the way to the moment up to launch Sunday as this we're working up towards this huge launch that we had put so much into, that people in our church have given thousands towards, you know, and people have been slaving towards this thing, going out every Saturday in the summer to reach people, just doing all this work. And because I wasn't respecting rest properly, I had a full-on meltdown the week leading up to launch. Like, I'm talking, I let things, little things get into my heart along the way that I wasn't allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me. And so I had a full-on, like, freak out in my office the week leading up to launch Sunday. It was not pretty. And, you know, it's because I look back, and it's because I didn't guard my heart. I wasn't guarding my heart because I wasn't being intentional about my time with the Holy Spirit. And in James 1:20, it says, be slow to anger. I sure was not slow that day because anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. So God desires us to be righteous. And I had created an environment that was unhealthy. I created it. But rest helps us. Rest helps us create an environment for righteousness in our lives, an environment for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, because rest helps us renew. Rest gets us to renewal. Notice that the Lord comes to Samuel while he's laying down. He doesn't speak to him when he's out going, how can I help you, Eli? How can I, you know, do these things? How can I get this done? No, what does he do? He speaks to him when he goes and lies down. That's when the Lord speaks, when he's resting. Physically and emotionally, it's so important for us to rest. It can't just be physically. We have to get our emotions into rest as well. Taking time to push pause on the busyness of life and saying, those emails can stay unread. Amen. And I don't have to respond to that text right this second. I don't have to jump on that DM just because somebody's sliding into it. Hello, young people. I said that one for you. In fact, I can even leave the house messy. I just need to rest. Rest leads to renewal. Let's expand a little bit on rest tonight. We have an acronym of rest because acronyms help you remember. I don't know about you, but they helped me in school in grade 4. One of my better grades. We need to rest in the Holy Spirit. So rest, R, stands for relationship. R is for relationship. This all comes back to relationship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. To hear from him. Even though your mind will creep towards saying it's about rules sometimes. No. It's about relationship. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. When you mess up, there's no condemnation. When you don't pour into that relationship with the Holy Spirit, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Even though your mind will tell you, you don't deserve to hear from the Holy Spirit. You've been listening to Biggie Smalls too much and not this worship music you're supposed to be listening to. What happens is our minds start to tell us that we don't deserve this connection. Yeah. Or as we say in freedom groups, we start to serve God out of duty, not delight. Right. When really our service to him and our relationship with the Holy Spirit needs to be from a place of delight, not duty.
Yeah, right.
The Holy Spirit is a person. He needs and wants relationship with you.
Yeah.
He needs and wants constant communication with you.
Yeah.
It's way too easy to fall into rules thinking, and it happens to us all the time. And if you fall into this thinking of rules, if I didn't get it right, you'll fall out of love with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You cannot allow yourself to get into that. Don't allow yourself to get into the thinking that you're not hearing from God because something in your performance has been wrong or because you've messed up and you need a certain number of days without incident before you can hear from the Holy Spirit again.
Right.
It has to be about relationship.
Wow.
This is how we hear from the Holy Spirit, our relationship, effort.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
right.
I'm not talking about saying that like there's these certain, again, it's not rules. It's just effort. Relationship requires effort.
Yeah.
Now, let me say this. Healthy relationship requires effort. A healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit requires effort. This can't be a passive thing where you're like, God, come on down, speak to me when you want to. I'll be waiting. No, rest doesn't mean you're lazy. Rest requires effort. In fact, in our home right now, we have a something-week-old baby. It requires rest. Like, it requires effort to get some rest around that place. It requires serious effort to get some rest. We need to have a desire in our lives to hear from the Holy Spirit. This resting thing is not about laziness. There's energy that we have to put into it and a hunger. An effort that says, God, I got to crack that Bible because I want to hear from you today.
Yeah.
Oh, man, effort is required. And in James, it says, we know this verse if you've been in church before. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead.
Yeah.
And later on, it references the Old Testament. And it says, our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. So Abraham wouldn't have heard from God had he not made the effort to go and almost kill his son, which is a pretty intense story. We won't get into that tonight. But it required some effort, right? It wasn't just, hey, God, speak to me. So effort. If we're going to rest, we need a relationship. We need effort. And we need submission.
Wow.
S for submission.
That's good.
See, I think sometimes we ignore truth in our life because truth contradicts our feelings.
Wow.
It happens to me. I'll ignore what I know is true because that's not how I feel right now.
Right.
I know somebody cares for me, but I don't feel like that right now.
Right.
I know that God's got a plan for my life, but I don't feel it right now. And we'll ignore the truth that's in our life because it contradicts our feelings. If you want to hear from God about a situation, you need to submit it to him.
Yeah, that's good.
How often do we come up with our own plan and we come up with something in our minds and we want God to confirm the plan?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Instead of offering the plan to him and saying, God, speak to me about this plan, we come up with our own plan, and it's like, God, could you bless this right now? Would you mind blessing this plan that I came up with? Because I'm dating this girl, and I'm telling you, God, she's the one. So if you could just tell my parents to shut up about her, and we'll get that blessing, and right? We get these plans that we come up with. We ask God to bless them and saying, God, instead of saying, God, this is what I'm thinking about right now. This is what I'm going to submit it to you. And you tell me what you have to say about it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying yes until I have a peace. I think it's fairly straightforward and easy to realize you need Jesus.
Yeah.
If you drove in the traffic that we had today on Argyle Road, you realize you need Jesus. Dear Lord, move! Talk about quick to anger. I think it's pretty. It's pretty straightforward. But actually submitting to him. Actually submitting to him. Whew. That's constant. That's not a moment. I mean, there's a moment when we realize that we're gonna, you know, there's a moment of salvation, right? Where we submit our lives to him, but it's constant after that. It's not a one and done thing.
Yeah.
It's constant, not just a moment. And it's something that's never just like done. What I've found is that we continue to hold on to certain things, and then it's like, oh shoot, I gotta give that to God. If I want to hear from him, I need to submit that. I must be willing to submit my ambitions and the way we think things are going to go in order for us to get a clear word from God. Because we will hold on to it. We will run in our direction and say, God, sure, speak to me here and now. But what happens is our prayer is, God, bless what I've decided to do. Not, God, help me decide what to do. And I know you'll bless it. Just help me figure that out. Give me a piece about that. And I know you're going to bless me. But so often it's, God, you better bless this because I'm doing it anyway. So if we're going to rest, we need to submit to him and say, God, I have a style. You know, I have a way that I want to live my life. I have certain things that I want to do, certain earthly desires. But at the end of the day, all of that gets submitted to you. And I know you'll give me the desires of my heart.
Yeah.
It says in your word you will.
Yeah,
but what happens? We hold on to our plans so often. We get these ideas in our head that we run with. And we need to rest. If we're going to hear from God, part of resting is submitting.
Yeah.
And just saying, God, I need you to speak to this.
Yeah.
I need you to tell me what to do here. And R-E-S-T, we need to trust. Why are you guys laughing? T is trust. How are you going to hear from God if you don't trust?
Yeah, that's right.
How are you going to hear from him if you don't trust what he says to do?
Yeah.
And here's the thing about our lives is we get impatient with God, don't we?
Yeah.
I want it now. I want it my way. Tell me why. Like, we're like, God, I want this answer now. I need this, God, tell me, speak to me now. And what happens is we get impatient with God sometimes. God, we need this problem solved now. And impatience breeds mistrust. And the enemy can grab onto mistrust and just start to pull. And that's what happens is impatience, it breeds mistrust. Man, let's be patient with the Lord and trust in him. Because the enemy will use our mistrust. See, people get so worried when they're not in control. Man, people, like, not being in control drives people crazy. You know how I know that? Because it drives me crazy.
Yes.
It drives me nuts. You know, I go to weddings, and other pastors are doing the weddings. And I'm like, why is this guy taking so long? Not you. Not our pastor. This may be the last time you see me speak. Not our pastor. What's wrong with you people? But that's just, we're just like that. We like to control things, don't we? Come on, you like to control stuff. You know, you've been doing that since you were a kid. My brothers would get a remote control car for Christmas. I'd be like, give me the hand. I want my hands on the remote. You know, we want to control things. And so it messes with our trust. We have trust issues.
Yeah.
But the last time I checked, we serve the King of Kings. And we need to be reminded, he's the King of Kings also means the King of Politicians, people. Come on. Come on. Can we just trust God for a second? I mean, we're going to do our part, but we serve the King of Kings. The Holy Spirit speaks to us when we rest. The Holy Spirit speaks when we rest. Trust Him. Trust Him with not just situations, but also trust Him with who He made you to be. Like, trust the fact that God made you as weird as you are on purpose. Like, man, I'm just sick of holding back my weirdness. God made me this way for a reason. And can we just trust God with who He made us to be? Sometimes I think we don't hear from the Holy Spirit because we're not living authentic. He's not going to speak to who you're pretending to be. He wants to speak to who you are. And as Christians, our job is not to be like someone else who's being like Jesus. Our job is to be like Jesus. And man, we need to get that right in this day and age. I think sometimes we're not hearing God because we're just watching Him speak to someone else and be like, oh my gosh, that's so good. But like, He wants to speak to you. And please don't take this the wrong way this evening. I haven't preached it at a night in a while since they kicked me out of youth. They were like, your hair's going a little thin. We're going to transition you to something else. Okay. Come on, we're supposed to have fun in church. But I just, hear me when I say this, because man, I just love this city so much, and so hear my heart behind it. Can we focus on what God's doing in our city sometimes? Because of Instagram, sometimes we focus on what's going on in Carolina, LA, New York. I'm not hating on those things. Those are inspiring, but can we make something happen here? I think something's going on here. We'll hear from God when we stop imitating and start being ourselves. God doesn't want to speak to the fake version of who you are. He wants to speak to the you He made you to be. And revelation is tied to obedience. So when we obey, man, God can really reveal some stuff to us. I believe that with my whole heart. When we disobey, we start running into, you know, who we're not made to be. But when we just obey God, I just think revelation is so much easier for Him. And don't get me wrong, because God spoke to me so directly in a moment of disobedience. But I just think constantly hearing from God, and if we obey Him, it just opens up the lines of communication so much. And I think that if you're struggling with this thought tonight, go and do what God told you to do at some point. Like, go to the last point where you thought you heard God and just go do that. Just, you pick up on that and He'll use that. You don't need a new revelation tonight. Go back and think about the last thing He told you to do and start being obedient in that. For me, what spoke to me in that is I've kind of been struggling with this thought for the last little bit. And the last thing that I clearly remember the Lord saying to me, I mean, He spoke to me little things here and there all the time. I don't just come up with these messages on my own. I really believe that God speaks to me all the time. But a clear, directional God, where does my life go now? not just day-to-day stuff, but a clear direction. God, where do you want me to go? Because I was feeling confused about that in 2018. The last thing I remember was hearing from God at a freedom conference that I went to. That's a conference at the end of the small group. And I remember in December 2018, God clearly speaking to me, honor your father and your mother. And I'm like, really? I could just read that in the Bible. But I know that's the last thing that I really felt God spoke to me as far as direction for my life. And so when we started working on the Northwest Project, you know, I thought it was a fun idea. I thought it was cute. You know, it was like neat, like something fun. It was pretty neat. And I was like, I can help with this, but I didn't want to do it. Like, that's a lot of work. And I live 8 minutes from here. And I just, as we went through the process, just kept going back to that, honor your father and your mother. And really just felt like that was the last thing God told me to do. And honestly, I can genuinely tell you that not only am I so in love with where God has me right now in my life, but honestly, I've never had him speak to me so much more than I did in the month of September. Just honestly, just day, like every single day hearing from God. After my little freak out, get a little rest after launch Sunday. And I, that's why I believe revelation is tied to obedience. I think a large part of that speaking is just that I know I'm walking in obedience right now. And what he's doing through our church, you know, if you go to church here, first of all, you're good. I like you. But second of all, what we do at church, this is the way we do church. It's not normal. Like, and if you, it is not normal. It's normal to us, but it's not normal in our world. Like, people still think church is what the movies portray church to be. Pam and Jim's wedding in The Office. You know, you ever, that little church that they're in. I don't know if you watch The Office or not, but that's what people think church looks like. But what we do isn't normal. I know it's not normal because what's happening in the Northwest right now is these people who are coming that don't know what Celebration Church is. They don't know who Jesus is. They have some ideas of him, but they're coming into this thing going, what the heck? This is, where have you guys been? This ain't normal. And I think God's doing something so special in Canada. Man, he really is. And we get to be a part of that. What a blessing. And, you know, people like to compare us to Americans. And we know that's gross. But the Canadian culture is actually more, when it comes to relating to church and religion, the Canadian culture is actually more similar to Europe. People hate the church. People hate religion. I just met somebody recently where he just told me, like, he said, what do you do? Love that question. And I said, I'm a pastor. And immediately he's like, oh. Yeah, I do not like organized religion. I said, don't worry, we're disorganized. It's fine. No, I didn't say that. But he just told me how he just disliked organized religion. But he said, you must be from one of them cool churches, though. And yeah, we're one of those cool churches, but it's not enough for us to be cool, church. We need to be real. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Man, we need to hear from God. Because hearing from God reminds us who we are. So I want to ask you tonight, what's the loudest voice in your life? Let's get that right by resting. Relationship, effort, submission, and trusting him. Can I pray for you tonight? Jesus, I just thank you for this church. God, we thank you for your people that are alive. God, we thank you that you're such a loving God. Serving you is not about rules. It's about relationship with you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, that we're living in such a special time because we can hear from the Holy Spirit at all times. And so, God, we just thank you for this country. God, we thank you that people are coming to you, Lord. We thank you that because of our action, God, people are coming to you because we're just deciding we're going to get up early on Sundays. We're going to serve people's kids next door. We're going to give our very best at church, not because it makes us look cool or anything like that, but because lives are going to be changed. And so, God, I just pray that right now, that this week we would have a desire to hear from you, that you'd speak to us, Lord. And we just give you all we are right now, and we'll continue to give you all we are. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, can you say amen tonight?
Thanks for listening to this message from one of our First Wednesdays. If you're wanting to know more about Celebration Church or would like to partner with us financially, visit our online website at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Celebration EDM. Come back again for another great message.